you are discipling tonight. How? Just by being here. Your presence, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Your presence is a form of discipleship to somebody else who needs to see somebody else being faithful. Your lack of presence is also a discipleship process because you are telling others it doesn't matter. And so always remember that. Just being here is discipleship. But now, don't stop there. Now that you're here, those who are here, be an encouragement to them. I believe that's been crucial. Briefly tonight, I would like to bring something to you from Matthew chapter 19. If I were to entitle this, I would entitle this, "What Shall We Have Therefore?" It comes right out of this passage. Matthew chapter 19. I'll begin reading with verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him," that is unto Jesus, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." There were things that this man was not willing to leave. Those were his possessions. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, everything I have just read is a sermon in itself, but that's not actually what I want to focus on tonight. What I want to focus on are the verses that follow. Look at what Peter says in verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." And here's the title. What shall we have therefore? What shall we have therefore? I doubt that there's anyone here tonight who has left everything. But notice what Jesus says. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone," how many? "Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then the parable that comes in the next chapter follows upon that. But I want to focus tonight on what Peter said. What shall we have therefore? Here you are in Matthew chapter 19. Keep your fingers there and go to Mark chapter 10. Keep your fingers in Mark 10 and go to Luke 18. So you will have your fingers in three different passages tonight: Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. Mark and Luke give the parallel passages. Now that your fingers are there, let me state this statement again. Peter said, we have forsaken all. We have left all. He's speaking for himself and the other disciples. Lord, we have left everything. The context, what did we read about earlier? This follows the rich man who went away sorrowful because he would not leave everything. Matthew records Peter saying next, what shall we have therefore? Now, most of us, if we don't say it, you've thought it. Where's the reward? What am I going to have? What do I get for this? And we identify with Peter on this. In other words, what is our reward? For the things I endure, where's the reward? We know that dedication and commitment to Christ does not go unrewarded, right? We know that. We know that following Jesus Christ has eternal reward. And we typically think that we've got to wait until eternity to get rewarded. But I want us to see tonight that following Christ does not only hold an eternal reward, but as Brother Allen prayed tonight when he prayed for the offering, we thank you for everything you've given us, both earthly and eternal. Is there any earthly reward for following the Lord Jesus Christ? So we need to acknowledge, yes, there is an eternal reward, but we need to acknowledge there is also an immediate reward. What of this reward? Five things I want to point out tonight. Number one, this reward is without exception. Because Jesus said, notice again when he says this, verse 29, everyone. There is no exception. Mark and Luke say, there is no man who, having forsaken all for Jesus Christ, there is no man who will not have a reward. Everyone. So this is without exception. Tonight you can't sit there and say, well, that doesn't include me. No, if you fit what Jesus is talking about, you are included. There is no exception. So this reward is without exception. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. It is with stipulation. It is with stipulation. Because notice what Jesus says. Look at verse 29 again. I'm going to have to read it and get to that point. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Now out loud, please. There's the stipulation. It's for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, many people down through the ages have forsaken things for this, that, and the other. But if we do it for the sake of Jesus Christ, that's the stipulation. Mark says, for my sake and the gospel's. Luke says, for the kingdom of God's sake. That's why I've had you put your fingers there so that you can check me out on it. It is with stipulation. Just forsaking something because, well, it's not good for my health doesn't cut it. But forsaking something for the glory of God and for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is something. So the reward is with stipulation, and the stipulation is that we do it for his name's sake. So it is without exception. It is without exception. It is, secondly, with stipulation. Number three, it is without selection. You leave everything. You don't select anything to keep. It is without selection. You leave everything. Now, did the disciples wear clothing? Obviously, they didn't, leave the clothes behind. There's things that we keep in order for us to serve the Lord better. So the things that you do have need to be used for his name's sake. It is without exception. It is with stipulation. It is without selection. Number four, it is with tribulation. Mark, I believe, is the one who lists this. Go to Mark chapter 10. Note verse 28. We'll read this parallel passage. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. What else comes with that? It comes with persecutions. So it is with tribulation. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last and the last first. It is with tribulation. It's kind of interesting, as I was reading this, in chapter 19 of Matthew, he talks about the regeneration in verse 28. I think he's talking about the millennial kingdom. That in the millennial kingdom, those of us who have forsaken houses and lands and brethren and sisters and family here in the millennial kingdom will have so much more. But I find it interesting, too, that Mark points out that Jesus said as well, in verse 30 of Mark 10, but he shall receive 100-fold when? Now, in this time, is when he shall receive it. Along with persecutions. Everything that is gained by having forsaken all, everything that is gained has persecutions that come with it. Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 29, Paul is saying that suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift that God has given us. He has given it to us to suffer for his sake. So, see if you can help me out here. The reward that we have for serving the Lord Jesus Christ is, number one, without exception. There is no man. Number two, it is with stipulation for my name's sake. Number three, it is without selection. You can't select anything to keep. Number four, it is with tribulation. It is persecutions. Here's the last one, number five. It is without computation. You can't even compute the reward. Matthew says, last part of verse 29, for my namesake shall receive how much? 100-fold. But Mark mentions that this multiplication is now in this time. Now go to Luke chapter 18. Here's the parallel passage, verse 28. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive, and here's his computation, manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So I close this with this. What is it that you have in this life for following Jesus Christ? What is it that you have? You have, if you've forsaken all, you get the same things, but you get so much more. I think of those who have forsaken all to go to the mission field. And I wonder if they hadn't surrendered to the Lord to do what God called them to do, if they would have lost their families. But having gone to the mission field, now their children, if not on the mission field themselves, or at least serving the Lord, there is great gain there, folks. That's 100-fold. When you think about things that you have given up, I remember when we moved out here, I was an administrator at Bob Jones. And some people couldn't believe that we were leaving with the position that I had there as the registrar, where the benefits were great. Do you realize that if I had stayed there, my wife and I have talked, we talked about this when we left, that our boys, if I had been there, would have received free college education, free, through a master's degree. How much is that worth today through a master's degree? I can't even compute it. That would have been something, three boys. And I remember telling the boys this when they were teenagers, and they said, "Dad, you know, it's like, why?" But I remember counting the cost. We counted the cost, you know, coming out here, and we really thought that, okay, for the first few years, we're going to live in a trailer, nothing wrong with a trailer home, but we would live there, and we would eat a lot of ramen noodles. And the Lord supplied and multiplied everything that we needed. And there is this great reward in serving the Lord and doing what the Lord has called you to do. And again, I remember people kind of looking at us like, what are you doing? Well, this is what the Lord has called us to do. And folks, you cannot surrender anything to the Lord. You cannot give up anything for the Lord without getting back so much more. People have a problem with their giving in the offerings and giving of their of God's tithe that already belongs to him. You keep his tithe, and it's no wonder you're having problems financially. But when you give it up for him, he multiplies. You've heard the stories of people who learned how to tithe. I remember Rod telling me about his dad when he first got saved and how, boy, 10% of my income? And how, you know, he just started giving, and then he kept growing in his giving, and how the Lord just kept giving back. And you cannot outgive the Lord. You can't do it. It's even getting involved in Faith Promise missions and saying, okay, this is above my tithe. How in the world can we afford that? But as you give by faith, the Lord just multiplies. He gives it back. How does the Bible say it? Pressed down and running over. You just can't outgive the Lord. The reward, folks, is not only eternal. It's earthly. It's now. How many things we don't know we have avoided by living for the Lord that we won't know until we get to glory? A hundredfold we've received things. One of the things that I wanted so greatly with the boys growing up, I wanted an acreage. I wanted to be somewhere where we could have, you know, some chickens. I wanted my boys to grow up learning the responsibility of animals and so forth and so on. I wanted that so badly. And we would drive out in the country and look for a place, had to be close to Greeley, because this is my priority here, and it never happened. And I just, okay, Lord, maybe in the millennium. I'm a farm boy. And here we live in this little plot with neighbors looking into our yard. And, you know, it's just like, oh. But if, you know, we're doing it for his sake, the Lord will take care of that. And I rest in that. And that's just something very earthly. But do you think the Lord is concerned about those little things that we're interested in? The little things that, you know, I would love to have, but Lord, for your sake, that's okay. How does the song go? I remember Joel Dubois used to quote this a lot. Cottage, how does that song go? A tent or a cottage, why should I care? He's building for me a mansion up there. You know, it has to do with, you know, okay, what I do for the Lord here may not give me what I want right now, I think, but really it does. He does. And I think back to what Joel and Gene, when they came out here, how many remember Joel and his skin problems? Oh, he suffered. Wow, he suffered. But you look at what the Lord has done with them today. And, you know, I think they're moving to Texas here. Or Joel's getting ready to move to Texas. And then Joel and Janine will have to follow when the kids are out of school. But you just can't give up enough for the Lord without him saying, okay, listen, I'm going to give you so much more. Now, along with that comes persecutions. That's what comes with it. Probably to keep us, you know, Because if we don't have persecution, if we don't have obstacles, it gets too easy. What shall we have therefore? Peter asks Jesus. And he says, let me tell you. Let me tell you, Peter, everyone that hath forsaken houses. Think about houses. Brothers, sisters, father, mother. I think of Adoniram Judson going to what is today Myanmar, Burma, in the 1800s. When he left the shores of Massachusetts, when he said goodbye to his mom and dad, he knew it was the last time he would ever see them, just as a young man in his 20s. He knew this was it. And then sailed for Burma. Wife, children. You know, today we focus so much on the children and they make the decisions for us. You know, sometimes we make the decision as to where we're going to go to church based upon what our kids want. No, that's where you forsake what my kids want. That's where you leave the kids. You don't leave them physically, but you leave what they want. And he said, no, we need to be in a place where God is glorified, where God is honored. And I see that when parents make a choice of a church, not based upon a youth group, not based upon do they have this for my kids and that for my kids, I see that the Lord honors them because the kids see that in their parents. They see that their parents are making decisions not based upon what they want, but upon what God wants for their lives, and that impacts the children later in life. Or lands. You see, I've got the houses and the lands in there. I want a house with some land. And so since I've wanted an acre, if I'm going to get 100-fold, how many acres is that, Larry? 100 acres. Now, I'm just obviously not being serious about that. And, you know, the time will probably come when that's too much for me to handle anyway. But here it is, and shall inherit everlasting life. Isn't that alone worth it all? And yet Jesus promises, not only then, but in this present time as well. I don't think we can compute the blessings, the joys, the friendships, the fellowships, and so forth that we have as a result of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't compute that. That's why I say it is without computation. You can't even compute it. Is it worth following the Lord Jesus Christ? You ask the typical unbeliever who looks at your life and what you've given up, and they say, you're crazy. And you say, no, because my reward is without exception. It is with stipulation, it's for the sake of Jesus. It is without selection, it is with tribulation. That's what the world sees. But the reward is without computation.